We asked Marcia, who is Jewish, to be Jesus this morning so that she would have that privilege. Women are not often asked to be the Lord in these things, and I thought it was very appropriate. She's very conscious of being Jewish and very proud of it, and he is Jewish, our Lord Jesus. That's very important. It's kind of what I want to talk to you about this morning from Isaiah. Isaiah 53 is an absolutely wonderful passage. Now, I've probably mentioned this to you before, but there's a piece of music that I love, and it's, oh, if I die, I want this at my funeral. That's going to be very difficult because it's not an easy piece of music. It is the Concerto de Aranjuez by Rodriguez. It's a Spanish guitar piece. And it's very complex, but it's absolutely beautiful. And as you probably know, I'm not musical. I like how the notes go up and down. That's about as musical as I get. But in this long piece, it starts with a lot of complex guitar, and then it hits this little piece where the notes go up and down, and I get excited. And, ooh, that is so pretty. But that's all it is. It's just a little. And it goes on. A little while later, those notes again. It's that same signature. It's that same sound. And it's a little bit bigger that time. But it's so, it just draws you in. And then the piece goes on, and the piece goes on. And it follows this pattern until we get to the section where those little notes just get expanded. And the whole piece of music is now about those few notes. Tremendous crescendo. And I'm goosebumps and just transported. And then, of course, it goes on to the end. It's not the end, but that's the crescendo. That's the culmination of this piece. Now, the reason I say all that is because the servant songs in Isaiah are exactly like that. They start out in chapter 40, and they go all the way to chapter 46, but there's a very distinct difference in the way the servant is described. So in the beginning, in chapter 40, chapter 41, we have the servant who is laid out before us, and the servant is clearly Israel, God's people, the whole people, the whole ethnic group of God's people is being addressed in chapter 40. And in chapter 41, Israel, God's servant. Chapter 42, we again have the servant of the Lord presented. It's a very different picture. In chapter 42, it's an individual. The servant of the Lord was the people, and now the servant of the Lord is an individual. And it goes on throughout these next chapters. It goes back and forth, the people and the individual. And so we see in this that the obedience of the individual servant of the Lord is mentioned in two of these passages, but the disobedience of the servant of the Lord is mentioned in three. The people, disobedient, being now in exile. But the individual pleases the Lord with his obedience. We see the individual in two of these passages ministering to the blind and the prisoners. And in one of the passages, Israel, the people, is called blind and imprisoned. They're in exile and they're blind. So the contrast that's set up between the individual and the people can't be starker. But that contrast is still of the servant. The servant. And then we read about the servant bearing the sins of the people twice in our chapter 53, verses 4 to 6, and then again in chapter 10 to 12. He is mentioned, in verses 10 to 12, he is mentioned as bearing the sins of the people. And yet twice in the servant songs, Israel is described as forgiven of sins. And then this contrast is eliminated, as we hear only in chapter 49, the servant as an individual is commissioned to restore Israel. And in chapter 50 and 53, here's that little sprinkle of sound. In chapter 50, he suffers willingly. And in chapter 53, it's expanded. So we have the similarities. He is my servant, my chosen, called from the womb, as we heard in the psalm. Isaiah repeats that in chapter 49 of the individual, chapter 44 of the people of Israel. And he's helped by the Lord against his enemies, both the individual in chapter 41 and the people in chapter 50. You couldn't have a more significant, united presentation of my servant, of both an individual and the people. And yet, when we come to this magnificent crescendo, he, the individual, is the focus. And in that, if you can look at your passage in the bulletin, begins in chapter 52 in verse 13, "Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted." And in verse 14, "As many as were astonished at you," his appearance was so marred, beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of Israel, of the children of mankind. There's very good reason to think that as many as should be just as many as you. Who is the you? It's the people. It's the servant who is the corporate people of God. And Isaiah is speaking to that corporate servant and saying, and just as many as you, and then referring to the individual, his appearance was so marred, beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. In other words, the individual comes and suffers all that the people of God had suffered in exile and more. And here in this crescendo, the resolution of these two servants, the corporate and the individual, is taking place. And he addresses the corporate and says, just as occurred with you, so he. And then he goes on to all that this servant, this individual will do and suffer, unlike the people and for the people. And so we come in chapter 53 to a single verse. Of course, there are others here. But if we look at chapter 53, verse 4 and 5, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. We missed what was happening. We thought he was suffering justly. We thought he was suffering justly. And in verse 8, that's picked up by oppression and judgment. He was taken away. A formal judgment, a declarative act of a judge. We misinterpreted who this man is and what's happening to him. So in verse 5, we couldn't say it more plainly. He was wounded for our transgressions. Not for his, for ours. He was crushed for our iniquities. We use the word substitutionary. He suffers in our place. You couldn't state it more succinctly than is stated right here. Our transgressions, our iniquities, his wounds, his being crushed. Upon him was the chastisement that brings us peace. And again, with his stripes, we are healed. So it's our debt of guilt that is the cause of his death. And by his death, we get all the benefit of what he has accomplished. He does not receive the benefit. He does not warrant the punishment. We receive it. He stands in our place. Why can that happen? Why is it possible? And there's two answers to that. And they're both very important. The first one is the one we miss. The second one we grasp, oddly, perhaps. The one that we grasp is that he is sinless. He is God become man so that he can die for us, and it is functional in that we are forgiven by the virtue of his death. And we love that. We appreciate it. We thank the Lord, and we spend our lives thanking him for that. And those of us who are people of faith grasp that, even if so little, until we learn more and we grasp more and more. But the first one is vitally important, the first reason, and we easily miss that. Marcia told me she was going to the Messianic Synagogue in Indianapolis last night, or no, she'll go, I guess, Saturday coming, because she wants to be with her people. That's great. That's absolutely great. I encouraged her to. I want to say, bring them all here. She feels kinship with her people. The servant of the Lord, back and forth. The people, Israel, and the individual. How can that be? It is on a purely human level. Because if you are Jewish, then you are Jewish. If we are Jewish, you are Jewish. Let's state it much more clearly. If we are human, you are human. So Elise could stand for all of us. Because she's fully human. She's fully human. And if we get to space travel and Elise gets to go on a space trip and winds up being the only human who goes to a foreign planet and says to them, "We hate you all. She has just embroiled us in war." Because she is human, and she is us, and we are her. It's just human. Israel understood this, and so the Lord, speaking to Israel as one, speaks of one servant, not multiple, one servant. And the one of them suffers for all and accomplishes forgiveness for all. Our unity with our human brothers and sisters couldn't be stronger. And Jesus says, if you do this to the least of these, you do it to me. He understands our unity. Do we? Back in the 19th century, people were growing wine here in the United States successfully. It wasn't as good as the old world, but they were growing wine and using traditional methods to grow wine, and no problems. In Europe, the traditional methods of growing wine were being carried out, but the vines were dying, all of them. So red wines that they had cultivated for thousands of years in the same way were dying, being wiped out by a blight. And the whole of it was wiped out. So somebody got the brilliant idea, taking some of the American vines and bringing it over there. And they snipped it appropriately and grafted it into the root of the old vines. And lo and behold, it took, and the new was not subject to the blight. And the entirety of the crop switched over to this new grafted in stock from America. So if you drink some wine now from anywhere in the world, red wine, it comes from American stock grafted into European roots. That's where it comes from. And why does that work? Because it's grape. It's grape. God became one of us, God himself and a virgin, and he became a human. He doesn't have any kids. He didn't marry. But that stock grafted into Adam's race means his chastisement brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. Why? Because he had no sin. Because he's from healthy stock. And yet it comes to us because we're human. He's human. We are human. The common bond that we have with humanity is what functions in our redemption. You and I can't be believers in Jesus Christ without acknowledging that you are my brother and my sister. We can't do it. So what happens to you in some way happens to me, and vice versa. Let us pray. Amen.